Yo, welcome back. It's a special We Love on a Monday night. You know what I'm saying? We got Naptown All-Pro in Indianapolis happening on Saturday to curb gun violence on the Far East Side with the Far East Side Community Center. You can go to NaptownAllPro.com, buy tickets if you're in the area. If you're not in the area, $10 to sponsor a seat. But we talked to Jay Rose, spotlight on him right before Naptown All-Pro on Saturday. 2 p.m. to wake up, 8 p.m. the blackout. Stay tuned.
Are you ready?
Hey, y'all. This is J Rose, and if I'm wrestling and you love wrestling, then we love wrestling.
Welcome to We Love, another edition. You know, we love wrestling with the We Love because we talking to people and things about that we love. You know what I'm saying? Today, we in Nap. I live in Nap. Got somebody from Nap. Got a show happening, Naptown All Pro. Got one of the owners, you know what I'm saying? One of the people setting up the cards. If you out here and you listening at events and you listening to the announcer, you probably hear him off there. You know who this is. The Naptown man. This is Jay Rose. What's up, Jay Rose?
What's going on, man? I like that little intro. Yes. Yeah, nice. I like more so than anything, I like the fact that he's the Naptown guy. I like that. I'm not used to being the owner, but I like being the Naptown guy. I like that.
Hey, you got to put it out there because you know people they still sleeping on Nap, but y'all about to see here soon. You know what I'm saying, Jay Rose? So what's been going on, Jay Rose? Just saw you at For the Culture. So what's going on, man?
Grinding, working, trying to make this event the best it could be. As you said, I did WrestleMania weekend, did Dallas, came back. I had another show since then, but I don't remember what it was. I did Pawcade this past weekend in Salem, and then we had, what was the day after? Oh my goodness. And then we had Southern Underground Pro. I did some social media and behind the scenes work for SUP in Nashville. So
you know what? I was watching that. You was in the crowd, weren't you? Saw you standing over there in the crowd. Uh-oh.
I mean, don't think too much into it. I've been to almost every SUP show since 2019, since 2018. I've been to every SUP show. Those are my guys. So, and once I get done with whatever I need to get done, it's one of the few places on the face of the planet where I could just chill out and, you know, be a fan for once instead of, you know, ripping and running around or hosting or anything like that. I could just, you know, chill out, which is a nice little reprieve because this show, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, but man, it's kicking my butt.
Jay Rose, let me bring somebody else in. You know, last time we talked, you was on the platform. I talked to you alone. You know what I'm saying? But when you talk to We Love Wrestling, it's a whole assortment of us out here. Another Midwest person, you know what I'm saying? Got Nicole coming in. So, Nicole, what it do?
Hello.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
So he said we can talk about anything, you know what I'm saying? We can talk as long, you know, we here for Naptown All Pro, but we can talk about anything, you know what I'm saying? So Jay Rose, I got to ask you before I already asked him why he loved wrestling. Go back to the first one. It's going to be linked right there. Click on that link right there on the YouTube and you can go see the first spotlight. So Jay Rose, I got to ask you. February, we were supposed to have a show, and then, you know, snow happened, stopped our show. Now we back in April. How does it feel getting through all that to now your actual first show is, like, about to happen? Because I heard how you felt about it in February, but
It not happening, really, to be completely truthful, you really messed with my head. Because it was like, you know, because of all the other stuff that had to happen, we only promoted it on like 3.5 weeks time. And we were looked like we were gonna make it. Like we had a bunch of like word of mouth people that said they were gonna pull through, and it had us thinking we were gonna pull it off like at the last minute. And then to the no reason of our own, you know, it didn't happen. It just wasn't in the cards. And it's like helplessness is too strong of a word, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, dang, man, I did everything I could right at the last minute, and we still almost pulled it off. And just for the weather to be like, not this time. And like, so, if you really want me to get into it, we can get into it. You know,
I mean, I heard the story. We got to put it out there to people. Let me tell y'all, we didn't get like no snow all winter. And then the weekend the show was supposed to happen, we had a snowstorm that was like, are you serious right now?
Yeah,
it's like
it's the most disrespectful thing. Like, I literally just spent a couple minutes just staring up at the sky and be like, why? Why you do this? Like now, today? So and like, oh man, and like, okay, so I said this on one of the other podcasts I did, but I'm gonna get into it because I know, you know, this is the platform where I feel like most at home at, because, you know, like, because me and you wanted the same, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we gonna get into it. So after it happened, right? Because I remember the night before, and I won't go deep into this because this is a different story for a different time, but like a day before when we felt the snow was coming, or like 2 days before, Hooffoot was like, yeah, we should start planning out the next dates. And I was like, Negro, we ain't even know if we can run this first one. What are you talking about? And I had a whole bunch of people that were like, hey, I don't think it's safe for me to travel. So we had cancellations we had to deal with, but almost everyone in the car who could get there would have gone. And it like warmed my heart. And we were getting to the point where we're like, okay, we're going to do this. And we called up the ring that we were renting. And the barn that held the ring was covered by snow. And then even when they walked up to it, so then they could try and clear the snow and try and work something out, the door was frozen. So they couldn't open it. And that's the reason why we had to cancel. Up until the very last second, we were trying to make it happen. It's like close as we could cut it before people started flying in. We were trying to make sure that we could try to put on the show, and it, because of the freeze, it wasn't happening. And like that messed with my brain so much, because even more, only a few select people knew about that. They just thought, oh, you canceled it because of the weather. Now, like we were gonna do it regardless. Like even if five people showed up, we were gonna do it, try and live stream it, something. And the one thing you need for a wrestling show more than anything, besides like wrestlers, you need a wrestling ring. And if we didn't have the ring, there's no way in hell we were going to put on the show. And it messed with me a lot, man.
I just remember it snowed like on Thursday or Friday. And I was like, all right, snow happened. Friday came, I was like, all right, I get out here, I shovel the snow. I'm like, the roads don't seem that bad, but people were hitting like, I don't think I should be coming. And I'm like, I think he might, if he just do the show, I'm going just so someone's there. If nobody else can get there, it's going to be some people there. And then I'm like, it's not going. And somebody hit me, was like, it's canceled. I was like, I ain't seen that. Nope, I ain't seen that yet. And then I got on Twitter and saw, I was like, it's over then.
It hurt. I'll be completely truthful with you. That hurt so much. Cause we had put the amount of time that we had putting in to try and grind to get that done in less than a month was crazy. We went out and flyer like crazy. I had to cancel on booking so I could go and promote. I'd done like extra shifts for my freelance job to try and get the money to do everything that we needed to do. And we were this close to pulling it off, man. This close to pulling it off. And like, so this is going to get real, real deep for a second. So, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So stick with me here. So when it got canceled the days after, right? I took some of the money that I had saved for the show, and I was like, I need to get the hell out of here. So I went to California, and when I was in Cali, I was like, to go see my partner, my boyfriend. I love you, MK. And I was like, I don't even want to do this no more, man. Like that was real. It was like, what's the point? Because I did everything I was supposed to do, and it didn't happen. I was like, I'll cut my losses. I'll send out the refunds, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, you know, maybe I'll run, like, a short little thing to fulfill the obligations for the people who sponsored and whatnot. And I'm gone. I don't even want to think about this no more. And, like, a week or two after, when I more or less made up my mind, I was like, yeah, we're not doing this. The night I'm like, tomorrow I'm going to talk with the team about not doing this anymore. And you know, the cause is like the whole reason why we were doing all this is for anti-gun violence. The literal day that I was gonna go in and be like, "Hey, let's just end it to the other four NAP members," that day I woke up and my best friend from high school, somebody I talked to every day, got shot and killed, and it was like. Like literally I had the message open and I was typing it out. I was like, Buzz, let's cut it. Cause like I was in my own head. It's like, how are we even gonna help anyways? Like, we gotta do the whole work over again. People are gonna end up canceling on us and whatnot. There's not even any point. And then I woke up that day and then one of my best friends was shot and killed. And it was like, I can't stop now, you know? Mm-hmm. This is somebody who I talked to literally every day. I wouldn't have gotten through school if it wasn't for her. And like, we didn't talk much after high school, but I would see her like around town every 3 to 6 months, almost like clockwork. And we would catch up, have a big old hug, blah, blah, blah. And it was sobering, to say the least. So the big push for every time I don't want to do something as far as the 30th, her name was Sequoia. She graduated from Warren Central same year that I did, and she's baby boy. Every time I think about like not wanting to do it or giving up, I think of her, and I keep grinding, make sure that I put at least give my best effort to make sure that somebody, some teenager, young adult, kid is at least given the opportunity to not be put in the same situation to do some stuff like that. And she's not like she was doing anything wrong, because she definitely wasn't. But like, you know, giving up wouldn't have been something that she would have wanted from me. So I'm doing like 13-hour days grinding, trying to make sure that this is the best thing I can make it be. And so here we are, about, you know, I don't know, I looked at my wrist like I got a watch on, about less than 2 weeks out. And, you know, and we're trying to make it do what it do.
Man, Far East Side Community Center, the event April 30th, Help Curb Violence, Indianapolis, Far East Side. You're not from Indianapolis, you're watching this, just say this right here is something that's needed for the Far East Side with the things going on. I rep the Far East Side. I grew up on the Far East Side, the Ring of Fire. If you're from NAP, we used to call that Mid-Hall for the 42nd and 42nd, 38th Street, you know, because the cops used to harass us all the time there, so. And this event going on 38th Street, I was in those areas back in the day. But let me throw it to Nicole. I think I'm outside the purview, so I can't get in trouble for nothing. So, yeah, go ahead, Nicole.
Again, I just want to say we're super excited for the show. But, again, I'm so very sorry for the loss. I understand that. I lost one of my best friends from high school, and due to domestic violence. So I can understand sort of adjacent how that feels and having to be like, especially like someone that like knows like your shitty years, like I always like to call them, like when you were just like a mess and just like going through it and whatnot. And it's really hard to like lose someone who like helped make those years better and like kind of shaped you. So my heart goes out to you and the at all of the rest of her loved ones. And yes, I think that just because you're doing this within for her honor, because I feel like when we're honoring those and we're doing stuff with the purpose, that makes it better. So, I mean, I feel like a light's going to be shining on that show just because of that aspect.
Thank you. Yeah. It's rough some days, but, you know, she was loud and in control, and she would have been slapping me in the back of the head if I would have been feeling sorry for myself. So only thing I could do is keep grinding, you know?
So obviously we don't want too many spoilers, but what kind of has been the hardest part? Obviously sans the snowstorm, and even though I was not Indian, I live in Ohio, and let me tell you, that was not a fun snowstorm because I got stuck at work for a few hours, but that's neither here nor there. But how, like, what has been like the best part or been like the like hardest learning aspect of putting together something like this of this magnitude for you for the first time?
Honestly, the economics of it all. Like, I did creative stuff for Paradigm where I was like, hey, one of the people that was like, hey, we should do this, blah, 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 blah. And I had a general understanding of how like money works in wrestling, but until you actually get to doing it, it ain't even comparable. Like, and like, I'm not going to say no numbers, but even with talent being favorable to me because they understand the vision, is this thing expensive. And it's honestly like, there's been other concerns too, and I'll get to that, but like, that's been the biggest concern, because as much as it's as important as it is for me to do right by the community, that's one-to-one the most important thing in my head. I also want to do right by the brothers, sisters, and siblings who believe in what we're doing, you know what I'm saying, to give them their fair share of what I think they deserve, even if it's not, or at least comparable, you know what I'm saying? So I have been working my ass off trying to find funding and doing extra freelance work and trying to pay for this. It's expensive. For anybody who's looking to like, I know it's tax season. I know what happens around Indiana around tax season. People are like, oh, I got enough money. I can start my own wrestling promotion. No, 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 no.
Is that what they do?
Bro.
Everybody just runs to the casino and don't tip their servers when they go to the restaurant and the casino. But that's neither here nor there.
I not no, outside of the not tipping people, because, you know, treat your service workers with respect. But I wish that's what they did, because there was almost for three consecutive years. It hasn't happened since the pandemic. I will say that. But for the last 3 years before the pandemic started, there was a new promotion every April, because that's when the tax refunds came in. And they were like, oh, I can run a promotion. I just put all my tax refund into running the promotion. And then like a year and a half later, at best, they don't exist. Some people didn't even get their show off the ground. I remember my first year doing stuff in wrestling, like even before I was doing stuff at South Kentucky Avenue, if you will. I won't say any names, but even before then, there was a show that they were calling Generation Next, and they were gonna do this guy named Anthony Toatelli, who's like an Indiana, like he's an Indiana guy, against Johnny Gargano in 2015. And they delayed it, and then they redid it, and they were going to do Eric Cannon versus Sammy Callahan in 2016. Or no, that was 2017. Like, each year they try and do the show, and each year it doesn't happen. And then it just, like, after the last one, people got online and embarrassed them, the promoter, and he was like, well, I guess I'm not doing this. So There was one that was supposed to run off of Wabash, the Wabash venue downtown. It's like a recording studio. And they had like one of the newscasters trying to be commentary for it. That didn't even, they didn't even start announcing matches for that before it petered out. So,
oh my God. I almost said I remember that. I remember a little bit about that. Yeah.
It's the financials of it all is a struggle. The other big part is, like, if you're familiar with the original card, like, I could put together an entire wrestling card of people who were supposed to be on the first one and canceled and aren't on the second one, or people who committed to the second one and it was like, oh, dang, I can't do it anymore because something else came up, blah, blah, blah. I could put together a show that is comparable to the show that I have running right now, either one, of people who canceled, which is okay. Like, this isn't me throwing shade towards them. It is what it is. Understand the nature of the business, blah, 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 blah. You get other opportunities. You have a commitment that you need to take care of. I understand that. But that is to say, to that same point, oh, my God, man. Trying to figure out what to do, because there are multiple different roles. Like, some people were supposed to work on both shows. Some people had specific spots and specific reasons why they were going to be doing the things that they were going to do. And having to reformat not only the vision, but find it all within the budget has been a chore to get through. And, like, I feel like we've done a very, very, very good job of keeping the same level of quality. Like, you know, there's only one Willow Nightingale in the world. But, like, and I hope to have her back in for NAP sometime very soon. But I feel like we've done a good job of establishing the same general galaxy of quality as the original plan for the doubleheader. But those two things have been, oh, it's been beating us up. It's me a lot, but also Chase and Kemp, who have a lot to do on the day-to-day stuff. Tankman is a big picture sort of guy, and Hoodflip is somewhere in between those two. But me, Chase, and Kemp have been, oh my goodness, it has been rough. As a matter of fact, I can tell you straight up, we didn't finalize the whole card for everything that we needed to do until yesterday. Yesterday, we booked the very last person that we needed to book. And even then, we still have a couple of open spots, but at least now, everything that needs to be secured is locked in. It's been, oh my God.
Well, I'm going to hopefully not stress you out, so I'm going to take you to the flip side of that. So what has been the best part or the most rewarding part of, like, putting this together?
Being involved with something with my brothers. Like, the other four people who run NAP, that's like my family. Kemp is my one, like, legitimately, outside of like my partner and maybe some people that I've known since elementary school, my best friend on the entire planet. Chase and Hoodfoot are my road dogs. We go everywhere together. We laugh, we cry, we break bread together. Like, those are my dudes, those are my ride or dies. Tankman has been somebody who I've been calling a brother ever since I met him in 2016, to the point where originally when I was start doing taking wrestling bookings, I was J Rose Tankman, like Dash Tankman. Like, these are these are my guys, and being able to fulfill this vision with them too. And even though, like, you know, Hoodfoot can't be there, piece of trash, even though he can't be there, being able to accomplish this vision with them has been so gratifying. Like, there's no other, there's, I wouldn't think there's any other people on the face of the planet I would rather do this with, the go on this journey and accomplish this vision. In addition to doing stuff for us NapTown kids or us Indiana folk, like, the people who are, who spent a large amount of time at South Kentucky Avenue, so to speak. The five of us who I already mentioned, Bradley Prescott the fourth, even though he's not going to be there, Cole Radrick, Adam Slade, Don't Die Miles, you know what I'm saying, Billy Starks, Alice Crawley, being able to have us all under the same roof in that city again, in our city, that's, words can't put into how special that is for us. And that's probably the most outside of community, like, and reaching out and like making sure that people are okay and giving people the opportunity to at least have a distraction away from the mess or have a opportunity to improve their lives. Outside of the obvious answer, the reason why we're doing this at all, being with my wrestling family constantly and rekindling the love that we have for each other has been, that sounds so corny, but I mean,
I love it though. I love it. It's honest.
I absolutely love that. And even though we weren't able to do it this go around, I hope that in the future, I have to say, usually I would say if we make it past the show, but Chase said if I keep saying that, he's going to smack me in the back of the head. So if we would like to run another show, because I may run this show and be like, nope, I'm good. That was enough. But when we do this again, I can't wait to have the full family back together. That's what I'm really looking forward to. And that's been the most gratifying thing about it all.
Yo, let me jump in right quick. You keep saying that that South State below us Avenue, you know what I'm saying? Nah, I ain't gonna say nothing about it. I just remember going there, but yeah, I ain't gonna bring that up.
Well, listen, we can talk about this. If you want to talk about it, we can talk about it off air. Because I know they got the snipers on the roof, man. I'm not going to. I refuse to say anything that's going to disrespect them or come off as disrespectful. They got their thing. We got ours. No, whatever. That is all I'm going to say. You know, yeah, more power to them. I wish them the best success of what they're trying to do. That's all I'm gonna say. We could talk off air. You got something to say, but I know that they're waiting for me. That someone out there, maybe not even the people that people think that I'm talking about, but someone out there is waiting for me to cast the first stone. It's not coming. It's not coming at all. If I hop up in the ring and I'm drunk with power, nothing bad about them is ever going to come out of my mouth because I'm not going to give them the reason. Anyone the reason to come after us and what we're trying to accomplish. We can talk afterwards.
I live in Indy, y'all. So if I say something one day, just know I got experience, but I'm gonna leave them alone. They doing it. Go ahead, Nicole.
They're doing their thing.
Yeah. Okay, so I got one more. So basically, so what is your hope for the future with this show? I know obviously you're trying to think in the moment, like in the now, with the production of it, but what is besides obviously like the fantastic you're doing was bringing more awareness to gun violence, but as more of a professional aspect, what do you think that this hope does for you or hope can create for you in the future and those around you as well?
So a long time ago, like when the Twitter Spaces first started, there was a conversation about what can be done, and the people were upset about how there are almost never any Black people booked for PWG and how there weren't any women and blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no reason why there can't be a Black destination promotion.
Uh-oh, we going there. Let's go.
I don't understand where, like, and there are, this isn't to say like they don't exist. Like, shouts out to what's going on with Terminus and the Vendetta project that they got going on. I don't know if those are one and the same, but like, you know, I know that they are adjacent.
I know that they're
at least adjacent to each other. You know what I'm saying? Same city, same general graphic design, different sort of vibes, different sort of like purposes, but you know, and shouts out to Baron and Gresh one time, but, shouts out to West Coast Pro. Shouts out to Fight Club in DC. The destinations exist. This isn't me saying like they don't exist. But to the scale of the big promotions, they don't. And I know it's not gonna happen overnight. I'm not foolish, I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. But if we as a Black wrestling community can be like, hey, this is the place to be. Eventually, in theory at least, everyone else will realize that this is the place to be. I want this to be a point of emphasis for where people want to come to. And there have been, not going to say any names, you can talk about it off air, but there have been names that I would never imagine that would have been interested in doing stuff with NAP that have already reached out and be like, hey, when you're ready, I'm ready. Don't worry about price. Don't worry about price within reason, but don't worry about price. Don't worry about nothing. I'm in. I get it. So I hope that the 30th is the first step, you know, assuming that I don't just throw my hands up and say, nope, no more. Because I keep saying that because it's very, very, very real possibility that that this ends. And I'm like, man, that sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. Not even the show, just like running it. But in the case of where we end up doing this again, I want to continue to build to where people actively want to have a part of what we're trying to accomplish. I want to, and that's on the macro level. On the micro level, or a lesser so level, I want to be firmly entrenched in the fabric of Indianapolis culture. That's what I want. I want to be, I purposely told the other podcast I was on, I wasn't going to talk about this in depth on that podcast because I know it belonged on this one. So I want NAP to restore the feeling that I had as a kid going to Black Expo. That is my biggest goal.
Hoo-wee. Yeah, there it is.
That's what I want out of NAP. I want to be able, because like, I don't, Nicole, are you familiar with Indiana Black Expo? Okay. So
Black Expo. I'm very, very in deep root. I know like all of my Ohio promotions, like, and some of like the small Black promotions that kind of try to upstart in my area in Cleveland, but I'm very not familiar with Indiana, but I do love this history lesson. So,
So in like the late 60s, early 70s, a bunch of Black folk around the state got together and was like, hey, we should have one big meetup once a year, right? It was called Indiana Black Expo. And for years, it was the thing, it was the like highlight event of the Black community in Indianapolis and Indiana. I remember as a kid, it was such a big deal that stores would have expo sales. So then people could go and get their fits to go and do Black Expo. It was conferences, seminars, panels, a bunch of intellectual stuff. But they also had an exposition hall. They had concerts. They had kids' day. They had church services. And the church service was held where the Colts play. So it was like at least 10, 15,000 people at this church service. And they would have swap meets and college fairs and that sort of thing. And because the city has focused more on attracting the white millennial dollar, and I get it, there's no shot to any white millennials, y'all dollar stretches far more than ours do, unfortunately. I get it, but because of the city's focus on trying to appease the young white millennials, they've started to try and clean up the image. And even though there was nothing particularly wrong with Black Expo, the thought of a mostly peaceful event with a thousands upon thousands of Black people converging upon the city terrified them. And so systematically, they've dismantled it to where Expo is no longer as big of a deal as it was when I was a kid. It was like the state fair, the circus, the Super Bowl, all wrapped up in the one for natives. And I know that even if it were going to happen, we are a long ways away from truly restoring that feeling. But if I can get like a small little taste of what other projects are trying to accomplish with it, like people like Gang Gang Therese Music Festival, things like that are helping restore that feeling here locally. That's what I want. That's a big reason why the community fair exists. I've had, full disclosure, I've been having a little bit of trouble trying to get vendors to come and pull up and sell their wares at the show. And I know how much other wrestling shows charge for vendor spots. And I have a general sort of familiarity about how vendor spots work on expositions in general. And we're pennies on the dollar. We just need people to show up. And it's part of that experience of, hey, this is what all is going on. Invest money back into our communities, and then that dollar can stretch further. Giving people an experience that they never had before. Giving things for people to look forward to. Because I learned throughout the pandemic that if I ain't got nothing to look forward to, there's no point in living. You know what I'm saying? So on an Indianapolis level, I want to restore the feeling that I had when I was a kid when Black Expo would come around, when the Circle City Classic, a football game with two HBCU schools would pop through town, when the Universal Circus would come into town. That used to be a big deal when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was a huge deal when I was a kid. And now, for a multitude of reasons, all those things have petered out. If I can let one person feel excited every time that they see, oh, damn, there's going to be a nap show, the mission is accomplished. But I know we're a ways away from getting to that point. But I have a vision for it. I know where I want to go. A first step is finding a consistent venue, but and this is about the Tinley. Tinley has been oh so very, very helpful in accomplishing the vision. But also, I can't run the Tinley as much as I want to. So finding a venue and then getting to the bigger venues that I know I want to do, running the old National Center downtown, running the terminal down at Pan Am Plaza, doing stuff at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There's no reason that there can't be a show in the infield, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got goals, man. I got goals and aspirations, but we got to get through the 30th first. And while we have a healthy number of tickets, so I'm not, like, worried it's going to be empty, but we got less than 2 weeks to try and hit a sellout. I don't know if we're going to hit it, but we're going to try.
Healthy number of tickets.
Yeah.
This is just on the spot. We only done this one time before. Nicole, you got $40?
Friday, yeah.
Jay Rose, we gonna sponsor 10 seats. We love wrestling down for the count. Nicole got 40, I got 60 for you. That should be 10 seats to get the kids up in there.
Thank you so much. Like, for real.
When it's far,
you're doing it for a good cause, and like you mentioning Black Expo, that reminded me of, it was the Harrison Center when I grew up, and Harrison Center was, long story short, she was this prominent Black woman within Georgie Harrison, within my community, and she was like friends with my grandmother, and she, had, I don't know, her, no one liked to talk about whatever shady dealings her family did to come up in the money, but they invested in the community, so it's fine. So we turned a blind eye. So I did a lot for the kids, but every year, because she had this huge old building, this huge building, and it was Harrison Cultural Center, and they had Latchkey, they did hot meals for those in the community who are underprivileged, they did free babysitting, tutoring, all for free, like you name it, all. And then also the NAACP within my city, which my grandfather was on the board, will also hold their meetings there. But anyways, like every year they would always do the Harrison Cultural Festival, and they always did it during Juneteenth. And it was always like people from like colleges, like college recruiters, it was just like this huge festival. And I just, and then when you were talking about that, it just brought me back. I was like, dang, like, I really don't see shit like that no more, like I did when I was a kid. And it's sad. And I feel like man, we had all this, like, such a community, like, outreach and, like, things that we did to, like, kind of help. Because, again, I always say, especially us as Black folks, it's a village. And you don't really see that as much anymore. So I kind of feel like that's kind of what, and I don't want to sound like an old person, but I was like, I feel like that contributes to, like, our quote-unquote wayward youth that we have. Somewhat to an extent. So I'm like, again, anything that we can do to kind of help propel that vision is any more that we can do than we could.
I appreciate it more than words can express. Like, one of the biggest takeaways I've taken from all this is, like, and maybe this is just, you know, me cashing in on my good faith or whatever, but
yeah,
I'm not going to put them on blast, at least not yet, but there have been a multitude of people who I never would have thought would have been like, or like not even never would have thought, but I was like, oh, you know, I'm cool with them, but like, you know, like there is a particular promoter who one day I will say who you are and what you did and why I'm so grateful, but a promoter who I can solidly say I've never worked for, I've met and we've had good interactions, but I've never worked for it. And not even in Indiana, not even Black. And they gave a crazy amount of money to try and help us out. Like, at least on the independent budget, I genuinely couldn't believe it. So thank you. On behalf of me and the other four people, I'll get them to say thank you to y'all as well, because I don't take that for granted. You know what I'm saying? Thank you so much.
Tell me when
I love
to go.
Wrestling, and you love wrestling, then we love wrestling. Love wrestling. Love wrestling. You're not here, you missing out. Is this show?